This in-depth show is being brought to you by Merchants Bank of Hastings.
Hi, it's Jenna from Merchants Bank with a tip for your holiday shopping bills. Why not transfer the balance from your other credit cards to a Merchants Bank Visa scorecard? There's no transfer fee, you earn points on mortgage transfers for the first 6 months, and can take advantage of our low rate. As your trusted partner, we believe a credit card can be another tool to help manage expenses and build healthy credit. Let's work together towards your financial goals. Talk to your local banker or apply online at merchantsbank.com. Subject to credit approval. Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth, and that music means we have someone from the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center checking in with us, and we couldn't be more excited to chat it up with our friend Abby. Abby Holden works at the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center, and I'm going to get her official title from her herself. Abby, how have you been?
I have been great, Mo. How about you?
I'm just great. How could you not be? The weather's turning and the world seems to be turning. Abby, what is your title, please, at the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center?
I am an outreach naturalist.
I love it. And for people that don't know what that means, what does it mean?
So it's kind of two parts. Outreach means I get to be the person that takes animals into schools and into, you know, festivals like Hastings and show them off and tell people about them and why we should care about them and why they're so important. So I get to do a lot of that, the same good work that Carpenter does here on site, just at different locations.
And do you think that you're going to be doing more of that?
Yes, we seem very busy already.
Ooh,
especially with the nice weather, we can get outside, so that makes it a lot easier to social distance and stay COVID conscious. So yeah, with the warm weather, we've gotten a lot more programs.
Abby, doesn't that make you feel good? Because I know that's part of what you have done for so many years at Carpenter, and that is if people can't come to you, you bring the good stuff to them. But this last year was a challenge, I would assume.
Yeah, it was a really big challenge, and we tried our hardest because, you know, schools definitely couldn't come to us with busing and COVID, but they, you know, were doing the best job they could to protect all of our young ones, so we didn't go into schools much either this year, so I'm really, really excited to get back to normal and, you know, back to spreading the good word about all the good stuff that we know and love.
I love it. Well, you know what? This is such a great time, and I'm just thinking about my own yard and how it's coming alive, and I can't imagine how the whole Carpenter Nature St. Croix Valley, both of your campuses, are really changing with the spring. What are you seeing?
Oh, spring is one of my favorites. Last year with COVID, I actually spent a lot of time at our Wisconsin campus, which I'm from Hudson, so I go there often, but spent just more time day-to-day there, and both campuses right now have a lot of spring ephemeral wildflowers coming up. We're starting to notice a ton of frogs calling, spring frogs. I even saw a dragonfly today, which is pretty early. I think it was kind of an anomaly, but
wow.
I did see a dragonfly over our pond today.
Wow. Tell me again, where do dragonflies come from?
So the larva will,
okay.
That's okay. The larva will overwinter here in our in the pond,
okay.
And in waters just like our pond, and then they'll go through metamorphosis just like a tadpole into a frog, but they get wings and they become a dragonfly.
So that is kind of early, right?
Yeah, and then some dragonflies actually migrate, similar to birds. Yeah, if that kind of came, that one came from somewhere where it's been a bit warmer for a bit longer, but I'm not totally sure. It was pretty shocking to see it. I stood there for a while and made sure I was seeing the right thing and not just wishful thinking.
But how fun was that?
Yeah, it was super cool. It was a nice surprise. I saw that and also a pasque flower blooming today. This morning, right in the morning, it was still kind of rainy, a little cloudy, and it was still closed. And then I went back a couple hours later and it was nice and open, and those are one of my favorites, so... It was cool. Two cool things today, right at work.
I love it. And I think that if we would open our eyes, we'd see cool stuff all around us, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. I always encourage people, every single time you go out on a hike, I walk my dog every day, and every day, even if it's just in the neighborhood, I turn my phone on silent. I don't wear any headphones, because you just never even know the cool stuff that's in your own neighborhood, and, you know, that little shoulder along the street and the sidewalk. Like, there's always cool stuff to see as long as you take the time to slow down and watch for it.
You know, even just having the windows open the last couple of days, you really do hear so much sounds, the sounds of nature. And it's, you just forget about how quiet the winter can sometimes be. I know you have owls hooting and different things in the winter, and you get to see tracks of animals, and that's fun, seeing them in the snow. But I agree with you. I think when the world starts exploding during the spring, it just really is so awesome and so special.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of one of those, I think sometimes we don't even realize how much of a visceral physical reaction we have to, like, the world waking up in the spring and all of that increase in sound. And I think taking that time to slow down really lets you kind of relish in that feeling after such a long winter.
I bet. Abby, tell me about hibernating animals. Do you have any at the Carpenter St. Clair Valley Nature Center?
Yeah, so actually a lot of our animal ambassadors, so our turtles and frogs and snakes, if they were in the wild, would be hibernating or would have hibernated this winter. But when they're in captivity, a lot of that is pretty temperature-based. So they don't hibernate with us because we keep them warm and keep them fed. But in the wild, all of those animals would hibernate. So right now, you'll hear a ton of frogs are coming out of hibernation. Spring peepers is a really, really cool one that has a cool sound and an appropriate name.
And that's a frog is a spring peeper?
Yep, a frog.
Can you help me again, though? I thought frogs came from tadpoles.
Yeah, so they will. But some frogs, so they can live, 5 years, 3 to 5 years in the wild.
Okay.
So they will actually hibernate. A lot of them are pretty resistant to the freeze, so they actually produce a chemical called glycerol, and they basically look like antifreeze. So
what?
Their cells don't freeze and burst in the cold. You know, that's how you get frostbite and stuff.
Yes.
So tree frogs will just find a nice comfy spot up in the tree and hang out and take a nice long sleep until the spring.
So you are seeing them come to life again?
Yeah, we've been hearing tons of spring peepers. Our wetlands here is so incredibly loud with the red-winged blackbirds coming back and the chorus frogs. I was just down there the other day just standing on the dock listening to all the chorus frogs. So there's a ton coming back already.
And what are chorus frogs exactly?
So they're just like a regular frog body. They're pretty small. They have the smooth skin unlike a toad. I did pull up some calls for you today. I can play one for you if
you'd
like.
Can I tell that? Nothing would make me happier.
All right, I got a chorus frog here.
Okay. I've totally heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So they're actually the image on that video I just played for the sound looks almost exactly like our wetlands. So, they like that swampy, marshy area with a lot of stagnant water. And yeah, they're pretty loud.
Can I tell you?
Call midday.
Yeah, that is a sound that I hear when I walk past a ponding basin behind my house.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make
exactly.
sense. Oh my gosh. Can you do another one, please? Do you have more?
Sure, let's do spring peeper. I like that one. And the name is just too good, too appropriate for the weather. And it's funny because sometimes people will confuse frog calls for bird calls, because especially if it's a tree frog or something, It's coming from up in the tree and not from the ground. Spring peepers are bee on the ground, but those
okay.
are a cool one.
Okay. I don't think I would know that that's a frog, and that's the spring peeper.
Mm-hmm. And so what you're hearing, part of the reason it's, I think, maybe confusing is because you're hearing so many of them, right, all at the same time, all with that high-pitched little peep they're doing. So each individual frog is going peep, 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 peep.
Come
but
on.
Then if you get thousands of them all together, then that's when you get that huge chorus symphony sound that you have.
Oh my gosh. So you're hearing a lot of those in what kind of area? They're on the ground, you said, but they don't necessarily need water?
Yeah, so these ones you'll find in water in like our wetland pond. We're a bit early for some of the tree frogs still, but that dragonfly is giving me hope. They'll be out soon. So the tree frogs you'll hear more up. You can hear them on our ridgeline here, kind of before it goes down to St. Croix, where I'll hear a lot of tree frogs. So they'll do the more of the wooded area.
Do any frogs say ribbit? Where does that come from?
That's a really good question. I think it's probably from maybe a bullfrog, but I'm not totally sure. The bullfrog, you know, they say it kind of sounds like a banjo.
Oh.
I'll play a bullfrog for you.
Would you please?
I would guess that maybe it comes from a bullfrog.
That's totally a ribbit sound, absolutely. That actually sounds like a little baby cow mooing.
It does sound like a cow. And they're impressive how loud they can get. I've seen some videos of frogs calling. They kind of expand their throat, and the sound kind of vibrates off that tension in their throat. And I have seen videos of them perched just right in the water where they're making, like, crazy rings around them, you know, with every sound. They're pretty impressive.
So why are frogs ribbiting at this time of year? Are they singing? Are they calling for a mate? What are they doing?
Yep, they're calling for a mate. So usually, like our American toad we have, even that's one of my favorites. He sings on command, kind of. So
what?
If you pick him up just behind his front legs, he'll actually sing for you, and only the males will sing. So, yep, they're out there this spring after the long winter trying to find a mate, and frogs will actually congregate a bunch together. So unlike, you know, other species where they're finding one in a million, right, just one bird or one other animal, frogs kind of all congregate together. So I think all the males kind of get together and sing their beautiful songs, and hopefully the ladies will come find them after.
Is this really true?
Yeah, they say that's part of the reason you see so many frogs in, like, the same pond. Or so many toads. Yeah, they all get together.
They form a frog clique. Oh, my gosh. Abby, what are some of your other favorite things about spring?
I honestly love thunderstorms like we just had. Our other naturalist, Jesse, who you're very familiar with, we share an office upstairs, and as soon as it started raining and thundering today, we opened the windows. That sound is just so relaxing, and it's so crazy to see just how a few days of rain makes everything so green.
Have you noticed that things are really greening up at your campuses?
Yeah, for sure. Even when I left Friday, the grass was starting to get green, and I actually had Monday off. So when I came on Tuesday, it was like kind of like, oh, our grass is green already. And our daffodils are blooming in our master gardener garden. So there's a lot coming up, a lot of color to be seen.
And that really is a sign of spring and better things to come. So what is next? What sort of programming do you have going on? Can people come over anytime? Are you open? What's going on?
Yeah, so you can visit Carpenter H Center anytime, Monday through Sunday, from 8 to 4:30. We're totally free to come in. You can check out our trails. Our visitor center is currently open with restrooms and all of our animal ambassadors on display. And you can learn some information about them. So that's always a good option to come. The wild eagles are in their nest here down at the River Overlook, and they did lay some eggs this year. I don't know if they've hatched because their nest is so big it's hard to see. So that's always, you can come anytime here.
Oh, that's
But we do
fun.
Have a couple good events coming up as well.
Let's hear.
So we have a youth birding competition. So we have done big festivals in the past, but keeping COVID in mind, last year and this year, we kind of did it where you can do it from home, which is actually really, really cool. And it was really interesting to see everyone's different results from the St. Croix and Mississippi River Valley areas. So that's April 24th through 25th. It's for teens and children 18 and under. So there's two options. You can do it at home where you can record all the birds within the side of your roofline, or this year we've added a pick your park option. So if you want to come visit a natural area like Carpenter and do your birding here, you can do that as well this year, which is really, really cool. Every team that submits a list gets a prize of some kind, and Jesse put them together last year, and they were phenomenal. So it's definitely worth doing. If you would like to register for that event, you can check out the CNC website, which is carpenternaturecenter.org, or just give us a call, and we can answer all of your questions and get you set up. And our phone number is 651-437-4359. And we also have an Eagle bike tour coming up. I'm really excited for this one. It seems really, really cool. So it's from Prescott to Hastings. You can start on either end doing the Point Douglas Trail. So it's a 3.5-mile trail. In Hastings, it starts at the Confluence Overlook Deck. And in Prescott, it starts at the Clock Tower. And it's one continuous path where you can get a chance to talk to a naturalist from Carpenter at either end. There'll be someone set up with a spotting scope to get a closer look at an eagle nest on the way. And there's quite a few eagle nests marked out on a map for you. So the whole point is just to get out with your family, enjoy the fresh air, and also see some of those amazing eagles that we're super lucky to have so many here in the River Valley.
So you mentioned that you can actually see some of the eagle nests from, is it the Minnesota campus?
Mm-hmm.
How long do eagle eggs take to hatch?
I don't know how long their incubation period is. It's not particularly long. If you are ever interested in seeing one, so ours is harder to see because you're kind of level with the nest, so you don't get a good look inside with binoculars. But the Minnesota DNR has a field camera set up on nests, and it is amazing. The chicks have already hatched. But you can see them like turn and rotate the eggs. You can see them feed the chicks all like super up close and personal. And it's a live cam as well. So that is pretty cool through the DNR. But I don't know exactly how long they take to incubate.
I'm just curious to know how long until we'll see little chicks peeking their heads out.
Oh, yeah. The DNR cam, they've already hatched.
Amazing.
So it's about 35 days.
Oh,
okay. I was
going to
guess a month, but I was like, didn't want to give you the wrong day.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. There's so much going on, Abby, and I bet you are just thrilled that you survived another winter, and now we're into a new season and all the good things that it brings at the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center. Can you explain to people where you're located, please?
Absolutely. So we are located on St. Croix Trail, just up from the Point Douglas Beach and kind of down by the Prescott Bridge. And we are open 8 to 4:30 every day. You can come hike our trails, check out our visitor center. And if you are up for a little bit of adventure, if you're in the Hastings area, you can venture over to Hudson, Wisconsin. And we have our Wisconsin campus there, which is beautiful prairie trails. And we're in the process of putting a new visitor center up there, so you'll get to see where that's located and check out some of the new construction. So that's a really, really cool option as well for a day trip.
Love it. Abby Holden, she's an outreach naturalist at Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center. Thanks for calling in today, Abby. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
This in-depth has been made possible by Merchants Bank of Hastings.
Does your business have a trusted financial partner you can count on? Hi, I'm Mike with Merchants Bank, a community bank that believes in building community by building businesses. That means we're here to be a resource and a sounding board through the ups and downs of your business. It's about a partnership built on mutual trust and respect. We want to know what makes your business unique and help you reach your next goal, whether that's hiring your first employee or expanding to a new location. If you're ready for that kind of partner, join the Merchants Bank family today.